This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. A new year means new members of Congress and new legislative proposals. Topping the priority list for GOP leadership in Washington is the repeal of Obamacare. It may be politically popular with Republican constituencies, but is it really feasible? And how popular will Republicans be after millions of Americans lose health care coverage? Also, President-elect Donald Trump has two more weeks until he takes office, but he is already taking heat from members of his own party over possible Russian interference in this election. Members of the Senate Armed Services Committee met this morning to address cybersecurity and threats to the United States. Time Warner Cable News Washington reporter Jeff Bennett was at the hearing and joins me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Good to be with you.
Give us a summary of what happened at the Senate committee meeting this morning.
Well, and it was the first public hearing on Russia's alleged interference in the 2016 election. And at the panel, or testifying before the panel, was the director of national intelligence, the leader of the NSA, and an intelligence official from the Defense Department. And James Clapper, who is the head of the national intelligence, was definitive in saying that Russia did, in fact, meddle in the 2016 presidential election. He said they had a number of motivations, which he'll make public next week in an unclassified document. And then beyond that, he said that the cyber hacking was only part of it. He said it also entailed classical, these are his words, it also entailed classical propaganda, disinformation, and fake news.
All right. So what is Donald Trump's reply to these accusations? What has been his reply?
Well, previously, up until this morning when this hearing started, the president-elect actually backed WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who casted doubt on the intelligence community, alleging Russia's meddling in the election. But then this morning, as the hearing was taking place, Donald Trump took to Twitter, as he often does, and says, blamed it all on the media, and said, tweeted, the dishonest media likes to say that I'm in agreement with Julian Assange. Wrong. I simply said what he said. Now, of course, the FBI and the CIA have reportedly made the summation that Russia meddled in the election with the goal of helping Trump win the White House. And we are to assume that one of the reasons why Trump has been denying all of this is because he doesn't want to undercut the legitimacy of his own victory. But I talked with Senator Lindsey Graham in the entrance to the hearing room before he sat at the dais, and he said that Trump should be briefed on these things before he casts doubt on them, and that he should only cast doubt, if he even chooses to, should only do that after he's been briefed. Now, of course, the president-elect was briefed back in the summer when this all sort of came to the fore, when he was a candidate, but he has not yet been briefed on what the intelligence community has learned since then.
Well, it cast doubt on his legitimacy and the legitimacy of the election, but also his relationship with Vladimir Putin and possible Russian interference in our election and perhaps complicity. We don't even know. All of that cast doubt on his relationship with Republicans who are no friends to the Russians.
That's right. And I should also say today that the members of the intelligence community who were testifying today went to great lengths to say that their work is apolitical, that the people who occupy the ranks and do the heavy lifting in the intelligence community, many of them are former military and have been in really, you know, hot and dangerous parts of the world. And so, you know, it was, and I think Clapper even said that there's a difference between being critical of the intelligence and then disparaging the intelligence community. And that was viewed by many as sort of a thinly veiled response to Donald Trump.
One of North Carolina senators, Richard Burr, heads the Senate Intelligence Committee. What role might he play in this investigation?
Well, right. So today's hearing was the first, but it will not be the last. And he really has defended the motives of the intelligence community, as have most of the old hands on Capitol Hill. And he is expected to hold a hearing, and he frankly could invite in front of that panel and question officials who've worked not only for President Obama, but members of President-elect Donald Trump's team to find out what they knew and when they might have known it. And frankly, this will not just be limited to the 2016 election, because the White House says that this started as far back as 2008, although not at this reported degree.
All right. Well, let's talk about Donald Trump, the president-elect, and what might be on his agenda for his first 100 days.
So Donald Trump said, I think back in this fall, really, that there were three main areas of focus in his first 100 days: cleaning up Washington, or, to use his parlance, draining the swamp, protecting American workers and then restoring the rule of law. And so under that umbrella is repealing the Affordable Care Act. He wants to build this wall at the southern border, and then he also wants to encourage infrastructure investment. Now, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has really expressed little enthusiasm about pretty much all of that, except for repealing and replacing the Affordable Care Act. And the Senate has already taken steps to do that. There were a couple of procedural things that they passed earlier in the week. And this marker of the first 100 days, I know we in the media like these sort of arbitrary markers, but it is important because historically presidents, you know, have taken advantage of the brief honeymoon that they get following their inauguration. And, you know, even though Republican glory days have returned to Capitol Hill, you know, the GOP only really needs to look to Democrats back in 2009 to see how quickly the euphoria of one-party rule can vanish. So, you know, right now the Republicans are trying to figure out a path forward for replacing the Affordable Care Act, but it is much easier said than done.
Well, here's Vice President-elect Mike Pence talking about repealing Obamacare.
What's clear here is the American people have spoken. They want to see us repeal and replace Obamacare. And today, my message to members of Congress is that we are going to be in the promise keeping business. And the first order of business is to keep our promise to repeal Obamacare and replace it with the kind of health care reform that will lower the cost of health insurance without growing the size of government.
Vice President-elect Mike Pence, replace it. And that becomes the sticking point for Republicans. Have we heard anything about what that replacement might look like?
Well, no. And here's the thing. Donald Trump says he wants to keep the popular parts and get rid of the unpopular parts of the Affordable Care Act. The parts that people like, of course, are the provisions protecting people with pre-existing conditions, letting people who are under 26 years old stay on their parents' health insurance plans. The problem is you can't get rid of that and keep the part that makes the law work. And what makes the law work is the mechanism that gets everyone covered, all the younger and healthier people, in getting those people into the market to balance the market. And so without that, the entire sort of house of cards falls. And, you know, the Obama administration didn't do a very good job of describing how the Affordable Care Act works, and that's one of the reasons why it's relatively unpopular. But, you know, Republicans to this point haven't done a really good job of explaining what they're going to replace it with. President-elect Trump says he wants the repeal and the replacement to be automatic. But from what I've been hearing and talking to experts and even Republican staffers, that will not happen. So the question is, how long will there be a lapse between this repeal effort, which is happening now, and this replacement, whatever that might be? We asked House Speaker Paul Ryan yesterday, if there's a plan, what is the plan? He said, trust us. In effect, he said, trust us, we have a plan. We'll tell you about it later.
Well, Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer very definitely did not trust them. Here's what he said yesterday.
Republicans are plotting and soon will be executing a full-scale assault on the three pillars that support the American health care system, the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, and Medicaid. The Republican plan to cut health care wouldn't make America great again, it would make America sick again and lead to chaos.
Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer. So, Jeff, is there any talk in Republican circles, do you know, about a worry that you're going to find millions of Americans without coverage if you repeal the Obamacare and don't have a replacement in place? Is there any nervousness within the Republican caucus about going that route?
That's a real worry. And some Republican staffers who I spoke with yesterday were saying, you know, it's one thing to talk about repealing it when you know that you have a Democratic president who will stand in the way. House Republicans did, in fact, pass a repeal effort 60 times since 2010 when the law was passed. But it's an obviously very different thing to do when you're actually in charge of replacing it. Now, Republicans are aiming to get legislation to the president's desk by February 20th. Vice President-elect Mike Pence seemed pretty confident yesterday that would happen. And even President-elect Donald Trump yesterday on Twitter cautioned Republicans and said, you know, it's important to let Democrats own this disaster. And that if Republicans move too quickly, that we would end up in a position where, as you said, there'll be millions of people left without health insurance. Now, you know, that's just the politics of it. The very real danger is the fact that, yes, there could be people, especially in North Carolina, where there is no state-run exchange, without insurance. And frankly, it's not just insurance. It's also Medicaid expansion and provisions for rural health. So there are a lot of real concerns here that this will not happen instantaneously and the fallout from that.
Let's talk specifically about the North Carolina delegation. A new member, Republican Ted Budd, sworn in this week. What do we know about him and what do we expect?
Well, he's a gun shop owner, and he is the Republican freshman from the state's newly redrawn 13th congressional district. And frankly, you know, he defeated 17 Republicans and then defeated Bruce Davis, who's a former Guilford County commissioner, to win his office. So he spent the week, you know, finding his office, getting his office, frankly. The House runs sort of an NBA draft system to allot offices, and I think he picked 31st out of 51 offices. So he was getting settled in, and he says that he really wants to focus on regulatory reform. As a small business owner, that's something that's important to him. And he's close, I understand, with Richard Hudson, and he was showing him the ropes earlier this week.
All right. Donald Trump will hold his first press conference since the election, or apparently is planning that. When will it be, and what do we expect?
Well, we only know that it will happen because he says it's going to happen via Twitter. But we should mention he said that he would hold a press conference back on December 15th via Twitter, and that never materialized. We've heard nothing from his staff about logistics or even confirming that this will actually take place. We should note that it's the day after President Obama makes his farewell address in Chicago, and it's also the day here in Washington that six of his nominees will have hearings. So there's been some talk about he's having this, you know, a press conference in New York to sort of detract from the hearings that will be happening here. And it's what I'm interested to see is that, you know, so far the president-elect has used the media as a foil. If he holds a traditional news conference where he's the only one on stage and he's surrounded by, you know, tens or maybe a couple hundred or so reporters fielding questions, I'm really interested to see that dynamic. And he will, of course, you know, have to answer questions about potential conflicts of interest. And frankly, where we lead with this this new foreign policy with Russia such that it should exist.
Jeff Bennett, Time Warner Cable News Washington reporter. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Just ahead, is North Carolina a functioning democracy? Stay tuned.